Welcome to the Williams Meekin Why Be Hurtin' phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Doug.
Oh, hi, Doug. How are you? It's Nancy.
Oh, good morning.
I guess we're the
first ones.
I still have to finish sending you that those other links.
Okay.
Things have been busy.
I'm certainly staying busy, so I'm trying to get things organized as far as articles and business and just about everything. Keeps fluctuating and changing. That's a good thing, though, because it's changing for the better. I'm going to go do some exercises now while I'm waiting for everybody else to come.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So I'm going to leave the microphone, and I'll be getting onto the web page here soon. But it's great to talk to you a little bit. Hope to see you in person someday.
Oh, I would love that, Doug, and to meet your wife. That would be great.
Right. Okay, well, maybe that will happen sometime.
Yeah. And maybe if you come to Austin to that conference, that's always a fun time. But, I'll have to work on that. I'd love to come up to Steve Roos and Dennis and get to that Washington area.
Yeah, well, it's been nice out here this year with the weather. It's very unusual. I guess it's not going to last very much longer, maybe just the rest of today and maybe tomorrow. And then the rains are going to be coming.
Oh, okay.
So we actually need it because of all the fires that have been going on. Okay, well, I'm sure someone else will be joining soon here.
Yeah, finish your exercises.
Okay.
Good morning.
Is that Ruth?
It is. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Well, we got noticed yesterday that we have 2 house showings next week.
Oh, one of them.
Pardon me?
Oh, repeat that? You've got what showing next week?
2 house showings.
Oh, wonderful. All right. That would be good. So the person from Texas did not actually decide yet?
We have somebody coming, I think he is from Texas, who is bringing his money or something.
Oh, all right.
My computer shut off in the night, so I'm having to get it back up.
Is he someone in, would he be someone in Meekin or just someone else who heard about him?
No, he's working with a realtor. So, I make a list.
That's right.
It's like somebody, are you on a WebEx already?
I am, but I don't see anything there.
No, I just wondered if somebody else started, how it got started. You probably had to push start to get on there. Maybe.
I didn't push anything yet.
Oh.
See, the Doug is on.
Yeah, this is Doug. I see Nancy on. It looks like Ruth just came on.
Yeah, my computer had shut down, so I was a little slow here. I made some pictures last night. A few slides, Nancy.
Oh, that's good.
I think I found the article that you were looking at, so then I just went and got some slides. Okay. Hopefully. Well, it's time for us to get started. Let me get these chimes turned off. So good morning, everyone. If you want to come on the WebEx, we will have some slides this morning, as I mentioned. Let's go ahead and just talk and welcome you. I want to welcome you, especially if we have anyone who hasn't been here before. We'd love to have you speak up and tell us where you're from. And we're glad to have you on the call. We want you to know that this is our health style call. We have a mission to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices, bringing our bodies and our minds to become more and more mind and body fit. And have some pictures here of who's on the call today. Nancy Gilmer will be telling our lesson. But before that, we're going to look at our chart here just briefly, because I don't see anybody new here to look at it. I know there may be some of you on the line, though. So we will mention that we have a 10-point health chart. And by accomplishing these 10 points and checking them off here and using it as a journal, we can help to stay on track. And so we have the PIMAG water, the sleep, our exercise, our NECAN nutritionals, and then journaling is a point. And the rest of the points are our eating. They are 3 meals and 2 snacks. So 5 and 5, that makes the 10 points. It gives us a perfect healthy 10 day. Today we have some vocabulary to learn, and so we'll see if this, we have some that we had before. The astaxanthin is on the Thursday page, because Nancy taught us about that. And maybe Nancy, you can go through these with me. See if I pronounce the astaxanthin correctly. You want to pronounce that for everybody?
Yes, astaxanthin, you're correct.
Okay, and there, I have my little movements working this morning so that I can click on them and make them slide off. And so what is the definition of it? Let's see if anybody, you guys all say in your head, wow, what was that? I don't know for sure if I have, I thought I had them all working. I'll do it up here, maybe it will work there. Okay, it is a carotenoid. It's classified as in the xanthophyll family or xanthophyll family of carotenoids. It's a natural occurring carotenoid that is closely related to beta carotene and lutein. And Nancy taught us about that's what salmon had and somebody else.
The flamingos.
Right, the flamingos. Today, Nancy, I thought we had talked before you get started, just because I know I was always confused. Okay, she's going to talk about blood pressure. And so we have what diastolic is and systolic is, and I thought maybe you'd like to just start out with that because I have it on this slide. Would that work for you?
That would, but you want me to, I mean, are you going to bring up the definition?
Oh, I did have the pronunciation, but it looks like the pronunciation left instead of the
diastolic.
Okay, and then the defining, very simply.
Indicating the arterial pressure during the interval between heartbeats.
Now, I don't think I really realize that. The pressure between the heartbeats, okay. And then the systolic.
Systolic.
There it is. Pronounced systolic. Oh, these aren't too bad. And the definition then?
The systolic of blood pressure indicating the maximum arterial pressure occurring during contraction of the left ventricle of the heart.
All right. So one's the rest and one is the beat, the contraction. Okay, so that's our vocabulary lesson for us to remember from this lesson. And now I'm going to turn the time over to Nancy to give her lesson on blood pressure today. So here's Nancy Gilmer from Houston, Texas.
Well, thank you, Ruth, for that picture. That's a beautiful picture there of the heart with all the fruits and vegetables. All right, today we're going to cover through Dr. McCullough the tips for achieving a healthy blood pressure without drugs. He says, besides drastically reducing or eliminating fructose consumption, there are some basic lifestyle modifications that will help optimize your blood pressure, improve your liver and kidney function, and reduce your overall risk for disease. Make sure you address each of the following. First is use exercise as a drug. Physical activity is by far one of the most potent drugs there is, especially for increasing insulin sensitivity and normalizing blood glucose and blood pressure levels. We have developed a comprehensive fitness program that includes high-intensity, interval burst-type activity, stretching, resistance training, which are all important components of a complete physical program. And have any of you all experienced, when he talks about the high-intensity interval, the burst type, that's where you can choose either to do short little sprints and then rest for a minute or so and then go at it again, but you just keep doing that for like 10 minutes and you have completed your workout. They say we get more from doing that type of exercise than even a steady walk, but it's that, or you could do jumping jacks for that burst of energy. And then rest a minute or so, and then go at it again, and just keep doing that for 10 minutes.
Now, see, I have. You asked. I have done that. And that's what I described. I do it on the Rebounder. It's a bouncy thing. That's not the brand. But that's how I exercise when I do my exercising. But I don't. Do you mean, or you mean that we're exercising for 10 minutes, stopping, and then exercising 10 minutes again? I just do 10 minutes about all together.
No, all together. I learned this from Mark Sisson's appearance on the TV program that I watch. Mark Sisson is out in California, and he has a technique. He's a runner. And also, I mean, just very physically fit. When you go to his website, you can see pictures of him. But he says that gives us more of a workout than just a steady whatever we're doing for 30 minutes. He said you can push it all into that 10 minutes, but if you do those spurts, you can either run real quickly or you can jog in place or jump rope or as Ruth doing on the Rebounder, you can definitely feel the difference when you get through that 10-minute workout.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do running and then jogging kind of fast. I start kind of slow, and I use my arms like I'm jumping rope when I'm running.
Right.
And then I do the twist, jump, twist, jump, twist. So I'm really twisting my back. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to keep my back loose. And so I swing my arms around a lot. And then I sometimes do jumping jacks and make my arms go in big circles. Always trying to loosen and activate all my joints while I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. But I don't do it more than 10 minutes. Then I do it. Then at the very end, I just go, like I'm doing it as fast as I can. I keep counting to 100 as I'm counting my steps and jumps, and so I count the different things up to 100.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me keep going.
It's amazing. But in other words, he was trying to help people who say, well, I just don't have time for that 30-minute walk or whatever. But he says if you just go at it hard like that, but you have to have that little rest in between. You pause to catch your breath for about a minute or so, and then go at it hard again, and just keep doing that for a total of 10 minutes. And he said, and you're done for the day. And
I think I can improve on it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to improve. That's what I said.
Yeah, I do that too. I actually started not having much time when I was over in Japan, and I discovered that before I went out with my bicycle, one day I went out without stretching and I pulled something in my back, and it was a real problem because bowing is very important in Japan. I couldn't hardly bow for a period of time, so I thought, well, I'm going to have to always stretch every day before I go out. But then I started exercising, and I was always in a hurry, so I did it fast. And then when I got back to America, I did hear Dr. Mercola talk about this. So I just kind of continued the same pattern, except I increased my intensity. And I do leg lifters, and I do it until it starts, I either start puffing or it starts hurting a little bit. And I get up, and I do some stretching for a little bit with my legs and my back. And then I get on my hands and knees and do some stretching that way. And then I do the easy type of push-ups until my arms hurt and I'm coughing. And then I get up again and do some different stretching. And then I have this rubber elastic thing. I do another different thing with my arms until I'm kind of had it. And then I just rest a little bit. And then I do like a knee bench for a while. And still it starts bothering me. And then that pretty much takes 10 minutes or 15. I'm kind of like, I feel muscles all over, you know, having been strained a little bit. But since I do it 3-4 times a week plus walking, it's gotten pretty easy for me now. And I do it faster and faster. And I think I've actually seen the size of my muscles increase, you know, very slowly, and that's good for you because it helps your metabolism to burn up, to burn your fats and stuff the right way rather than going to where you don't want it to go. So I think it's been a big help to me. I've been doing it for quite a long time, kind of accidentally starting it in Japan and then more in a more educated way since I've gotten back here, more systematic. And it does really work. You have to kind of be sure you start your day off and get it done. Otherwise, it gets squeezed out. Never happens. It's been my experience.
That's completely true. We don't get it. We just can't work it in. Another thing for seniors living, they spend a lot of time that if you be seniors, find it hard to get in and out of a chair. If they don't work on their back and their core. But one good exercise is to pretend you're sitting down, but you don't go all the way down, and then come back up and do it again. But that bending of your knees and your back and strengthening your leg muscles, that keeps us from getting in that position where we have to have a little help to get out of the chairs as we get older. So here's another little thing. Okay, then he's talking about following a good nutrition plan that's right for our body. So it should be rich in fresh organic vegetables, raw nuts and seeds, raw organic dairy, eggs from pasteurized hens, grass-fed meat, healthy fats such as coconut oil and an animal-based omega-3, and plenty of fresh, pure water.
Nancy, sure. When you're mentioning about having a hard time getting out of the chair and that type of thing, and I know a lot of people do have, and, you know, sometimes we have aches and things that we should bring in Nican and tell, you know, how much help it is to drink that good water to make you quit hurting and to drink those green zymes before you try to go exercise. I just have had so many times when I've had something while I was just pinching me or something in my hip or my back, and just if I drink those green zymes or put a flex or a magnet on it, it just really melts that away. And so that is one way that we can be able to exercise better, is by utilizing our Nican thing so that then we feel good when we can exercise.
That's right. And when you were talking about flexing your back, all of that, when we work with our spine to get things loosened up there in between the discs, it's all, of course, we know that, but it's just a reminder to us that that's allowing the blood to flow, which is what we need in those areas, to get that movement so that the blood can flow through easily. Okay. We need to optimize our vitamin D levels. Now, he's talking about getting a lot of it from sunlight, but as I've learned that we're not always able to do that, make that transition from sunlight into the vitamin D. And there are people who work outdoors and who are very active being out in the sunshine, and a lot of them have low vitamin D levels. But he says here, sunlight and the vitamin D it causes your body to produce has a normalizing effect on your blood pressure. Vitamin D deficiency has been linked to insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. He's saying the best source of vitamin D is direct sun exposure. But they are determining now that that doesn't always happen. And what I understand is that if we don't have enough vitamin K in our system, that keeps that transition from happening. So vitamin K2 is something kind of new that they've discovered that we need to have on board. Then he's talking about he said for more in-depth explanation of everything you need to know about vitamin D, listen to his free one-hour vitamin D lecture. And that's on this link that Bruce can send everyone. You can just click on that to watch it. He says also manage your stress. Stress puts the tension into hypertension. The long-term activation of your stress response system can disrupt nearly all of your body's processes, and elevated blood pressure is one of many negative effects. Finding a way to deal with life's everyday stressors is a necessity for good health. And he also talks about his preferred tool for that is using the EFT system, which stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. And you can click on that also. Has anyone heard or used this technique? I know about it, but I have not put it into practice. But it's where we can train our bodies with different little techniques to eliminate, for instance, if we have something from our past that we're kind of hung up on, maybe it might be, a memory, a bad memory or something, or maybe some anger towards a certain situation that happened in our past. This emotional freedom technique can help eliminate that. So he does have a link there where you can read up more on that. The chiropractor I used some years ago, she said, if she was told she could only use one technique in her practice, it would be that. She sees more healing with people. And I watched the young lady. I was in a class that she had, and there was a young lady who had, because her dad had gotten cancer many years ago and almost didn't make it, she felt that anxiety that she had over all of that. But as the chiropractor pointed out, she said, your neck is bent forward. Your ears need to be in line with your shoulders. So as she was asking her these questions, she was adjusting her with, I forgot what they call that instrument, but she was doing some adjusting as she was asking her to think back through that process and how she felt with her dad. And when she got through and went to sit down, her neck was straight. It was in line with her shoulders. That was like miraculous. So there's something to that, but it's something we could study up on. Okay, get plenty of deep restorative sleep each night. And, of course, we know that that's where our body does all the repairing. So those are the suggestions he has. Now, the warning to those who are taking blood pressure medication, he said, I rarely recommend the use of drugs, but in some cases it may be appropriate to keep taking them as a temporary measure until you are healthy enough to wean yourself off. If you have serious hypertension, this is one of those cases. And if you use medication for high blood pressure, please do not discontinue it without consulting your healthcare provider. Stroke risk is a serious concern. As you gradually make the necessary lifestyle changes, your need for medication will lessen, and eventually you will probably be able to discontinue the drug altogether. It takes determination and commitment, but it is possible. I've seen it many times. This is his words. He's seen it many times. So keep taking your medications as prescribed, working with your health care provider, and keep eating your broccoli. All right. And then one other little section is, what's the secret key to eliminating hypertension? Humans are genetically programmed to seek energy-dense foods, served us well for thousands of years when food was scarce. However, this is maladaptive in today's environment of readily available, cheap, high-calorie, but nutritionally bankrupt foods. The standard American diet has tripped our fat switch, as Dr. Johnson discusses in his new book, which results not only in unwanted pounds, but also in related health problems such as hypertension, diabetes, and kidney disease. Once you understand how fructose-rich foods activate the body's fat switch, you can finally say goodbye to many of our nagging health problems. Anyone have anything to add to this?
I have a question on your point number two on nutrition. When he talked about vitamin D, does he have a level, a blood level for that? That he recommends people go to. I've heard so many different ones.
Yes, he says keep it between 50 and 70. My doctor says keep it more around the 70, and even 80 if you can get it that high. But I think standard labs will say even below 50, maybe.
Well, yeah, up to 50 is what is okay. You know, but yeah, it's America.
And he's even suggesting in here that if you, during the long winter months, that if you can't get enough sunlight, to use a safe indoor tanning device. I didn't think there were any safe ones.
Yeah. And my other question was, you said vitamin K was needed to metabolize was that sunlight or to metabolize vitamin D also?
Both, by taking it, by taking the supplement and getting the sunlight to make the transition into vitamin D.
Okay, so just the vitamin D tablets without K is not going to necessarily raise it.
That's
okay.
What I'm understanding from this alternative doctor I've been going to.
Okay.
And as he put it, K2 is the new kid on the block, so it's something that has not always been around.
Okay.
This is Ruth. I was just looking for to purchase some vitamin D online, and I like to get the vitamin D with the iodine with it, which helps to absorb or process the thyroid. that yeah. I have to take. And mm-hmm. and so I get the one with the iodine with it, but that there's not one at Vitacost. But while I was looking there, they had quite a few vitamin D3 with vitamin K with it.
Ooh.
So that was interesting to me to hear that that's why. I thought it must be the case. But then how do you know? It said if you need help, if you have a problem in absorbing it, I'm not sure how you know if you have trouble absorbing it. I guess if you don't have any bone problems, you're doing the job. I don't know.
Well, this is Kathleen, and somewhere I read about those little blue lines that appear in your legs sometimes, that maybe that's a lack of vitamin K, or, you know, that's bleeding through those little vessels, and vitamin K helps to shore those up. I'm not sure. I'm sure I read that.
Mm-hmm. Huh. When I was a kid, I had nosebleeds really badly, and I had to take vitamin K a lot of times then. But I think another thing that helps not to have that excess bleeding is from like your blood vessels would be your vitamin C. Helps also.
Yeah. I did want to make one point about the exercise. The general point, as I understand it, and this they used in Olympic training, is that you do it. It's like a ladder. What's happening inside your body when you do short bursts of super high energy, and then 1 minute of rest, and then a short burst of super high energy, and you do that for 10 minutes long. What you're doing is pumping your body up, okay? You're going up a ladder inside, metabolically, okay? Your heart rate does not come down in 1 minute. It does not. Stage-wise, your heart rate is going up. And I know for the Olympic trial training, you get in the water and you start swimming, and we'd swim 10 minutes and it was like swimming 6 hours. You sweat, you raced like sharks were after you, okay? Seriously, sharks after you. That was the image in my mind. And then you stopped and you just swam. And then you raced like sharks were after you. And you just did that for 10 minutes and you could hardly get out of the pool. So that's different than what you were describing, Ruth.
No.
You know, it's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that would be basically the same. You're choosing to do it with swimming.
Oh no! Yeah. What I described was what McCullough was describing. But Ruth talked about her thing of counting to 100 and then. Something and you know, but that she couldn't do it for 10 minutes. She was thinking of 10 minute reps. No, not 10 minute reps. 1 minute reps, okay, or 2 minute reps. Okay, so for 2 minutes, you go wacko, and then 1 minute you rest. I mean, you go.
I just did the 1 minute at the end. I did a little warm up at the beginning, kind of slow, and then in my death roping without any rope, and then I would do it really quite fast, like I was in a race, but nobody's sharks were after me. But then at the end, the sharks were after me.
Right, and what he's recommending is the repetition of short shark races. Okay, I mean short, you know. Oh, you know, think of it a lion, you know? I mean, you're running. Think of there's a lion behind you, you know? Or there's a bad guy with a gun. I don't know, whatever. Something, and okay.
Yeah, I do that with my arms, with the rubber thing, the stretching thing, the resistance.
Right.
And I'll just hold it with my hands out and hold on to the two handles, and I'll just bend my arms up and down as fast as I can. And believe me, after about 2 minutes, you just about had it.
Oh, yeah.
You really do it as fast as you can. And sometimes I get to the point where I literally cannot do it even one more time.
Right.
And then I quit. Then I stop. And I can go for a little bit longer, but in the beginning, I could barely make it a minute. And now I build up a little bit more, and I kind of concentrate on my arms because I helped my daughter with some of her goat projects. So
yeah.
I'm lifting bales and shoveling and stuff. So I found my arms were really suffering, so I started to try and
And what you're getting that high repetition, okay, low weight, high repetition. I mean, you know, other big, you know, half-hour, one-hour exercise programs, you know, do that. You know, high number of repetition. It builds different kinds of muscles, you know, and it builds them slowly.
Yeah, I do walking, too, so I kind of have, I take our dog out. He's high activity poodle, so he likes to really go. So
okay.
I get that part.
I'd love to now to get back on her story.
All righty.
Well, really, that's about all I've got in the way of notes here. But these are just some good things for us to be reminded. Most of it we already know, and so it's good to hear Dr. Mercola remind us of these things. So is anyone
else?
Especially
the exercise.
Yeah. But I have not gone to watch his vitamin D lecture. It's kind of lengthy, so... some of his videos are over an hour,
but video, Ruth, you're going to send that link, right? Or you're going?
Yes.
I'll send out with a Friday when Monty sends me his notes and I put our notes together. Then I'll get it out hopefully, or maybe I'll just send it to Monty and give him a listen and everybody, because I'm going to be pretty busy with these house showings and the hand of debate.
Right.
Okay. So, all right. Well, that's very interesting. That's some good information today to help us to improve our health. And thank you, Nancy. Thank you all who contributed.
Okay.
And so, everybody have a great day.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
For you.